again, the very beginning, first two daf and the last daf, and then we'll move on to some of the other issues. Just the last thing that we were doing was we were discussing the special din of Bechor and Nachla. It's my suggestion that essentially we have to investigate whether or not Bechor, the Chilek HaBechorah and Nachla, is just a double portion of the Chilek Pashut, or it's different in some qualitative way. And if it is different in a qualitative way, in which direction? Either it's more, again, one of the things is that we call it Matana Karya Rachmana. So you might look at it more as simply a an additional Matana, something that is separate from the Yerusha. And indeed, again, according to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah and Bechoros, in the end, the last Mishnah, in the base of the base, he holds that Matana is subject to Yovel, to Chazar B'Yovel, and since the Chelek Bechorah is only Matana Karya Rachmana, so he thinks it's subject to Chazara. That points in the direction that it's more of an additional present, tanik lo for an eved, and matana kari rachmana, an extra little bequest, an extra matana from the father in the case of Bechor. However, there are other indications that matana kari rachmana isn't just more than imamunus. On the contrary, it really shows that there's a constant relationship between the morish and the Bechor, and some of the issues that we discussed last time, yakir, lo yuchal vaker, the question of, kosin harsha zel azeb im uravim velo nikar meolam, a safek Bechor, Bechor shindolad lakar misa sa'av. Some of these issues really point to the fact that there is a shame Bechor, including the idea that it's a davar shabali olam, there's a shame Bechor already b'chai ha'av, and that the status of Bechor is a status within the family itself, a special relationship between the father and the Bechor. Again, I'm not talking about whether it actually exists, but we're talking about whether halachically, structurally, and potentially it could exist. And on the basis of that, we also understand matana karya rachmana, in that sense that it's like there's almost always a chelek Bechorah out there. Again, it's not anything that interferes with the father's ability to wheel and to deal and to do whatever he wants with his property, of course. But there is this chelek, and it's defined by mishas leida of the Bechor, and it's also redefined in terms of the percentages by each new leida, bishas leida. That's also halacha of tumtum shenikra v'nimtza regarding the pashut, or pashut shenolad la'achar misas ha'av, where there are definitely going to be notel chelek pashut in the Yerusha, but they're not memait mechelek ha'bechorah. All this, I think, comes together. And the last thing that we were discussing was that this might be the key, a way at least to understand the whole halacha of Ein Bechor Nota Baroi Kim Muksak, one of the most striking unique dinim of Bechor, which is that we almost freeze the moment of the Misa freezes the assets of the father in calculating the Chelek HaBechor. Anything that comes into the possession of the father, La'achar Misaso, does not qualify for Chelek HaBechor. So if there's a, let's say, Yerusha, let's say the grandfather dies after the father. So then that money only comes into the estate after the father has already passed away. So that's called Roy. And the same thing is true. That's Lo Yimatzei. Also Shevach. There's a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether Shvacha de Mimela or only Shvacha de Ayidei Ha'achim. That's machlokes Rebbe Rabbana. We pass like the Rabbana against Rebbe, that even Shvacha de Mimela is not calculated. It's from the moment that the father dies, any natural Shevach is also not included in the Chelek HaBechorah. And then there's a discussion in the Gemara, which we ultimately paskin that even Milva is considered Roy, even though there's a debate in general about the status of Milva. If somebody owes me a loan, I lend him money and he owes me the money, whether we consider that generally to be a real commodity, something that I have, maybe not something that I can transact with because it's in the category of Lautzanitna, but at least it's something that I have. And yet, when it comes to the Bechor, The fact is that it is frozen, and that doesn't qualify. And yet, at the same time, the Gemara has a safek about milva she'imo, and the girsa of either pligi or palgi, namely of the mimanushach. If milva is considered to be roi, then why would it matter who the, you know, who the recipient of the loan is? But again, what I tried to explain was that maybe milva is objectively considered to be a commodity, but when it comes to lasasal pishnayim, matana karya rachmana, everything depends on the ability to be makne at that moment. Again, that's the critical moment, the moment of the misa, before and the moment of the misa, but not extending beyond, because then the relationship is over, obviously, and the father no longer exists. So that's why milva shimo is different, because basically, it was outside of the rishus of the father, lachna, but only because of the very bechor who were wondering can capitalize on the chelak habechorah now. So that there's a reason for that safek. But in general, milva would be treated differently. And it's fascinating if you look at Tosas here in Bechoros and Tosas in Bava Basra, but the big long Tosas, there's several Tosas in here actually. Tosas discussed the question. What about milva legabe? Because this halacha of the Mishnah here says a bechor not to be shnayim b'nifse av, ain't not to be shnayim b'nifse aim, ain't not to be shevach l'abroi kibamuchsak. And then it says v'lo isha b'ksuvasa, v'lo abanos b'mzonaseim, v'lo yavam. Yavam is generally treated like the bechor. I think that also proves that bechor is a status as we discussed. But what about isha b'ksuvasa and banos b'mzonaseim? So that would seem to be a totally different kind of halacha, and it really is. Number one, it's based on Mikulei Ksuba. And then you have this big long tosis for Amar Shmuel Balchov Govas HaShevach, and the parallel tosis in Bava Basra as well, where tosis basically says that even though milva is considered to be roi when it comes to the Bechor, but milva is not considered roi when it comes to Isha B'Ksuvasa Banos B'Mizonos. Then there's a discussion whether or not what about the din of Shevach? So the din of Shevach, in general, there's another the missing item in the Mishnah based on the sugya in Bava Basra, and that's also Baal B'Nichse Ishto. A Baal B'Nichse Ishto may very well be patterned after Bechor as well. Because again, the whole idea of Yerusha Sabal may very well be, that's a discussion whether Yerusha Sabal is Daraisa Drabanan, but Yerusha Sabal is very much a function of the relationship between the husband and the wife, Mechayim. I think one can make that case as well. Because there is no blood relation, essentially. And la'achar misa, basically, there's nothing to talk about. But it all flows from that last, you know, from the time that they're together until that very last second. And that's why also Baal has this halakha of roi, of eino noto b'roi kinu mochsak. When it comes to Shevach, there the Baal is different only because he's the only, in the case of Bechor, Bechor has to split with the other brothers. So there are other candidates. So we say, oh, it's frozen at this moment, and anything beyond is equal chelik pasha. When it comes to Baal b'nichse ishto, you don't have that issue. He's the only yoresh, and therefore he's yoresh legamri at that point, and therefore that's what the Baal Tosfos point out, both here and above Basra, that when it comes to Baal b'nichse ishto. It's different than Shevach, but it's the same with regard to Milva, and that would work out very nicely according to this. And there's a huge debate among the Rishonim here. The Rif quotes it in Bava Basra, and there's a huge Ramban here in Hilchos Bechoros, and the Rosh also in the back, Rabbeinu Ephraim against the Rif regarding Balchov, regular Balchov. Is he no-tell b'Shevach or not? If Isha b'Ksuvasa and Banos b'Mazonaseim are not no-tell b'Shevach, what about a Balchov? That's also a huge debate. The Rif and the Rabban think that Balchov is the same as Isha, and the Rabbeinu Ephraim not. But again, all these, I don't want to go into these details because it will take us too far afield at the moment, but that's pretty much what this last whole daf is about. All this has to be examined in light of the question that we're pursuing, which is this Xeris HaKasuv Le'imatzelo? And that's the end of the story, in which case, if it's Xeris HaKasuv, and it's an objective shiur of either Roy or Muchsak, Matzui or Eino Matzui, then probably there's good reason to apply this uniformly across different areas. If that's the din of Yavam and Bechor and Baal and Isha b'mzonoseh, Isha and Banos b'mzonoseh, so then why should you be mechalik? But according to what we're saying, there really are two completely different dinim here. When it comes to Isha and Bas, it's a question of shibudim. Because it's a gviya, essentially. Basically, the husband has committed that he will support the daughters and the wife. Or it's part of her gviyas ksuba, and that's all a question of shibudim. What is considered mishubad, what is not. And as far as that is concerned, for example, milva may be mishubad, especially milva in terms of the karka, is mishubad, or it's based on shibudim. Rav Nosson, that's what this, if you look at this tosis here, Nunala from the base, for Loberoi Kimamuksak, big long tosis, which has parallels in other places, that's really what he's discussing. Shibud Rav Nosson, after the Gaonim were mitakin and the Talton Arkham Makarka, is it the Karka, Karka, Lagamri? But basically, what he's trying to suggest is that unlike Bechor, where this isn't the din of Shibudim, it's a din in Batanakari Rachmana. In Isha and Banos, it's a totally different type of halach. And Huadin, Yavam may be different, and Baal may be different, etc. So if we understand that Baal, that Bechor is a din in Yerusha Mechayim, and that's, it's literally Matonika, it's like the father in the last gasp is giving a present to his son directly, personally. So then we can really understand many of these chibukim. And as I mentioned last time, I think another very important consequence would be how do you define Roy and Muchzak in a case where, unfortunately, the father dies before his children? If the Bechor, the son, in other words, who is entitled to the Chelik Bechor, if he dies, so his children are Yoresh, his Chelik Bechorah, where the grandfather ultimately dies. But how do you define Roy and Muchzak in that case? So the Arishon would say, well, why can you define it in every other case? At the moment of the death of the Morish, in this case, the grandfather. When the grandfather dies, had his son been alive, the Bechor, he would have been Yorish at that moment. That would have been the Matanakari Rachmana. That would have been the point where we freeze the assets. Right? But this is a different case. This is a case where the Bechor died earlier. So the point may be, if it's a personal gift, personal bequest, it's in the scene, and it also flows from the relationship Mechayim, well, that relationship pretty much ended, you know, when the Bechor died. At that point it was frozen. So the Roi Muksak would then depend not on the moment of the Morish's death, but on the moment of the Yorish, in this case, the Bechor's death. And as I say, I think this explains very well below Mishpat HaBechorah, according to Ben Gershom, which began with also, again, the Gemara says, Amar Kra, here on Nun Beis Amin Aleph, below Mishpat HaBechorah, Mishpat HaBechorah Le'ish, Vein Mishpat HaBechorah Le'ish, and all the Mefarshim struggle mightily to explain, well, what's that limud? Because in the Pasuk, it's Kihu Reishis Ono, Velo Mishpat HaBechorah. It sounds like the reference is to the Kilom, Kihu Reishis Ono, the Morish, Velo, the Yoresh, Mishpat HaBechorah. So how does that prove that Velo Mishpat HaBechorah, Mishpat HaBechorah Le'ish, Vein Mishpat HaBechorah Le'isha? Strange. But that's the Gemara's conclusion here, and the Gemara in Bava Basra, the parallel Gemara in Kuf Yud Aleph Beis. And the Rishonim struggle to say, oh, well, the whole parsha is talking about the father. Since it's talking about the father, undoubtedly, you know, it relates only to his estate. They struggle to explain this. But I like very much I should just add, the Magid Mishnah in Perek Beis Hilchos Nachlos, when he quotes this halacha, doesn't bring the makar of Velo, which is the maskana in Bava Basra and the only makar brought here in Bakaros, of Velo Mishpat HaBechorah. Instead, he quotes another makar, ki matze lo velo lo. That's the Magid Mishnah. I think it's probably base halacha ches. Yeah. So the, not the Rambam, but the Magid Mishnah when he quotes this halacha. So the Magid Mishnah asks, why did he do this? After all, the Gemara's maskana is the halacha. Ein ha-bechor not to be shnayim b'nechse ha-ein. Ketz ha-bechor she-yorshu is iman, kolki v'shaver, etc. Ram doesn't quote the makar. But here, the Magid Mishnah does. Bechol ha-shei matzei lo, lo v'lo lo, u-maskana hachi. So the Magid Mishnah asks, he says, it's a kasav rava magid, kasha, lama kamar taima de lo koi b'maskana. T'hadachu shom b'gemara hach taima. But Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Lo Mishpat HaBechor, Lo V'lo La. Right? V'lo Koi B'maskana, Ach Taima. So he says, V'ulai Hudu Mefarish, the Maskana Nami Isa L'Ach Taima, Kedei L'Tarich, Tahani Kra, De La'el, The Mai Tzrichi. He says, "Aval Rav Magid Mefarish Dili Olam Tzarich Kra Dili El Dii Lav Haru Kra Lo Hava Darshina Drasha De Mishpat Abachar Leish De Kra De Velo Mishpat Abachar Mashma Dekaya Ben Velo Kaya Av Aval Hashi Darshina Lo Velo La Islam Gilui Darshina Nak Drasha Etc." In other words, the Lechem Mishnah is saying that the Magid Mishnah is precisely bothered by how do you get this limud? Why it doesn't really seem to make sense below Mishpat HaBechor on this way. But according to Rebbe Gershom, I like it very much. And on the contrary, the whole pasuk is talking about the Moish. It's Ki Hu Reish Yisayno, Ro'o No. Below Mishpat HaBechora refers to the Horasha, not the Yerusha. And according to everything that we're saying, the truth is that it is more a Horasha than a Yerusha. Or maybe even a Morasha than a Yerusha. It's the father's legacy to his b'chor, with whom he has this special relationship. That's below mishpat habechora. So I think these things make a lot of sense. There's a fascinating view of the Bahag. Bahag, based on the Tosefta in Yesh Lochlin, has a view that the whole halakha of ein b'chor nota b'roi kibemachzak only applies to a b'chor ben pashat. But if you have a Bechor, Ben Bechor, then he will take Beroi u'bemuchsak. That's pretty wild. The Rishonim will quote it, the Ramban and others, they quote this Bahag, and they reject it out of hand. They think this can't be. But it does sound that way in the Tosefta. But in light of everything that we've discussed, it's still, I think, a big Chiddush, don't get me wrong. But at least maybe it's a little more reasonable, because the whole point is as follows: when you have a bechor ben bechor, so the whole idea here, in terms of the whole distinction between roi and muchzak is really questionable, because it goes back to that question that I just mentioned before. And that is, if you have a, if the bechor dies before the father, how do you define roi and muchzak? But if you have a bechor ben bechor, who himself, his yerusha comes from the relationship between, to his father, that whole dynamic has changed. Okay. So it's possible that the Bahag and the Tosefta can be understood at least better. In light of this idea of Yerusha Mechayim, or at least Shem Yoresh Mechayim, of Bechor ben Bechor as well. And with this, I think we can understand something else, and that is the sugya of Yesh le Bechor Kodem Lechaluka. The Gemara in Bava Basra, right, has this discussion also in Kuf Chavav. Gemara wants to know. Amravasi, Bechor shenotel chelek kepashut. If a Bechor takes the chelek like a pashut, so viter. So that means that he has conceded his Bechor. So the Gemara says, my viter, Rapapa Mishmeda Rabba Amar viter ba'os asada. It's like Mechila. Rapapa Mishmeda Rabba Amar viter ba'kol ha'nechasim kulam. It's like he gives up his Bechor by assuming he didn't explicate that it's only in the sada. By doing so. Now, this is a situation where the father had died already, but the chalukah sanachasim has yet to take place. So the Gemara says, Rapapa Mishmeda Rav Amar Vita Bosa Sada Kasavar Ein Lebechor Kodim Lechaluka. And Rapapa Mishmeda Rav Amar Vita Bekol Anachasim Kulon Kasavar Yesh Lebechor Kodim Lechaluka. Umida Achil Baha Achil Bekulu. So basically, the Gemara says that this is a debate whether Yesh Bechor Kodim Lechaluka. Is there a concept of mechila? Is there a bechora after the father dies before the chaluka? In other words, we know from Lo Yimatzei in Bechor Nota Beroi Kibemuksa that the assets in the estate are frozen at the moment that he dies, right? Anything that comes into the estate afterwards is problem of Roy. But the question is, at that point, for what was there at the moment of the father's death, does he already have dine mamonis rights? Does he have a right to be mochel, to be mocher, even before the actual chalukah? So the Gemara says that Hodra Papa So this is the question, Mar Savar Lo Asav Lo Klum Bepalga, Mar Savar Bekulu. This is the debate. But it's fascinating is two things. Number one, there's a machlokas from Rishonim here, already the Rashbam and Balei Tosfos and others, whether or not, if Yesh L'Bechor, Kodem L'Chaluka, does this also affect the Chelek Pashut of the Bechor? Let's say he sells that too, or he gives it up, or he's Mochalet. Or is it only the Chelek Bechorah, which goes to the question that we asked earlier, and that is when we talk about the Chelek Bechorah, we only talk about the second portion, or to some extent at least, is there an integrated Chelek Bechorah? Now the Gemara does say earlier on Kuf Chav Dalet in Bava Basra that with regard to Bar Metzra, that's if a person, let's say there's a field that's going to the Yorshim, right? So the Chelek Bechorah has a din of Bar Metzra. In other words, you can't give him like one parcel here and one parcel there. He's the one who gets the part where the integrated portion, Pashut and Bechora, makes sense. That's the din of just like if you had a regular Bar Metzra, a person, you have a neighbor and he has the right to buy the field next to him, so you would have a contiguous property. So too the Bechora and Pashut, Chelek Bechora, Chelek Pashut. That we learned from actually Matana Karya Rahmana, that's what the Gemara says. So basically, the question here is, what about L'inyan Yesh Bechor Kodem L'Chaluka, whether the Chelek Pashut is, together with the Chelek HaBechora, one integrated sum or not? Now again, if the Din of Bechora was just Matana Karya Rahmana, and it was something, beyond, it would be hard to explain why that should affect the Chelek Pashut of the Bechorah as well. But if the Chelek Bechorah is a function of the status of the Bechorah, Bechai Ha'av, Yakir, Lo'yuchalavakir, all of the things that we discussed, so the idea that both of its portions, maybe not in all the dinim, but at least where it benefits him, both of his portions are the Chelek HaBechorah, would be something to consider. But I think it goes beyond that. Number one, it's fascinating, even though the Gemara doesn't say it, if you look at the Rashbam and the Arzarua, the Rajba, on this din of Yesh L'Bechor, Kodem L'Chaluka, that the Bechor, that he can already wheel and deal, he can transact with the Chelek HaBechora even before the actual division, they quote Matana Karya Rahman. Again, it could be a technical point because as he got it already, the last gasping breath of the father, he gets the, so it's his already. But the point may also be that this is something that came out of that relationship, Mechayim, as we explained. Remember the Arzarua that we discussed last week, tries to explain that even if a Chelek Pashut is a Dover de Mimela, and therefore a Dover Shalom Baliolam, if you were to try Bechai Ha'av to concede it, you couldn't do so. But that's not true about the Chelek HaBechora. The Chelek HaBechora, Atone Kari Rachmana, so that's a different story. You could be Mocho that Bechai Ha'av. So again, this idea that Matana Karya Rahmana is the basis for Yesh L'Bechor, Kodem L'Chaluka is very fascinating. But it goes even further than that. The Tshuvas Maimunios, there's a Machlokas Rishonim about how to paskin, whether we paskin Yesh L'Bechor, Kodem L'Chaluka or not. So the Tshuvas Maimunios says, how can we paskin Yesh L'Bechor, Kodem L'Chaluka? After all, we also paskin Ein L'Bechor Beroi Kibamuchsak. So Ein L'Bechor Roy Kibamuchsak is a chumrah, right? It limits the Bechorah. And Yesh L'Bechor Kodem L'Chaluka expands the rights of the Bechorah. So it would seem that the psak of Yesh L'Bechor Kodem L'Chaluka and Ein L'Bechor Nota Ein L'Bechor Nota Roy Kibamuchsak, it seems like these would be at odds. That's the question that appears in Tshuvos Maimunios. But I think the answer, again, in light of what we said, is really very simple. And that is, it's not a question of Chum or Inkal expanding or limiting the Bechora. It's a question of the nature of the Bechora being different than Yerusha's Pashut. Yerusha's Pashut is Yerusha de Mimela. For that very reason, you know, whatever the estate contains at the critical moment is going to be included in the apportionment. By the same token, it's a Yerusha de Mimela, he doesn't have any right until the Chalukah takes place. He has no rights at all. Ein l'pashut kodem l'chalukah. For the very reason that ein l'b'chor l'otav roi kem amuchsak, namely matana kari rachmana, that this is a much more dynamic and it's related to the relationship of father and son, for that very reason, it's also, he's already received, he has that status, and he's already working with it. It's not a davar de mimela that he has to wait until the actual chalukah. So for that reason, not only is it not a question, but Yehan Osenes, the same reason that Ein Bechor Nolta Beroi Kim Amuchsak is the same reason that Yesh LeBechor Kodem B'chaluk. Okay, I just wanted to point out that this also may affect, I think somebody mentioned to me last time, I don't remember whether it was Yoni or somebody else, that that this also should affect how different ways to understand another Gemara here, in Bava Basra, Kufkav Dalid. That's the Gemara of Eini Notel V'Eini Nosei. The Gemara says that if you have the Bechor takes a double portion, we know that, but also that the Bechor will be doubly responsible to pay out. Let's say there's a chov that the father owed, so the Bechor will have to pay double. That's his portion should reflect the chiyuvim as well as the kinyanim. That's the halacha. But if he says Eini Notel V'Eini Nosei, under those circumstances, he can do that. Now, as he can say, I want to be a pashut for liabilities as well as for benefits. Okay. It's interesting, Rajbam already quotes that there are some who thought that he could, that specifically relates to milvas. In other words, in all matters of milva, I don't want to be a pashut. And Rajbam says he can't. Of course he can't. The very halamina that you could do that would seem to point in the direction of the Chelek Bechor being simply a dine mominis apportionment and nothing more. But we say you can't do it. The point is, if it's about the status and invoking that status, then of course it has to be across the board. But Eini Notel V'Eini Nosei, the Gemara says also, is connected to the idea of Matana Karya Rachmana. There is a discussion in the Rishonim, different ideas, whether it's Siluk, exactly how it works, I'm not going to go into it now, but the different views of the Rishonim and how that. The Rishonim also talk on Kuf Chavav and Aleph in the Sugya of Yesh Bechor Kodem L'Chaluka. If you say Ein the Bechor Kodem L'Chaluka, so how can you say Eini Notel V'Eini Nosei? Are those two dinim connected or not? Again, without going into more of Yesh Nochlin, we've cut a little bit of a swath here from Kuf Chav Dalet to Kuf Chav Zayin, at least, and then these Sugyas. But if you look it up, you'll see that there's some of the lively discussion about the relationship between how Eini Notel V'Eini Nosei works, what its relationship is called in the Chalukah, again, partially depend on how you understand this idea of Yerushas Bechor. Okay. Having said that, so let me move on to something else before we go back to the major Bechoros. So here's just a few other comments, and they are as follows. So it's interesting to note that if you look at the Pesukim in Parshas Ki Teitze, that what emerges from it is that almost every line in... Do we have a... excellent. Thank you. Almost every line now becomes very, very meaningful when we understand Bechor, right? So these psukim at the beginning of Parshas Ki Teitze, tempted to lean it, I hold myself back. Kisiyana l'ish shtei nashim, I should go for that. Kisiyana l'ish shtei nashim hachas ahuva hachas snua, v'yodolo vanim ha'ahuva v'hasnua. So v'haya ha-ben ha-bechor la-sniya, we'll get that in a second. V'haya v'yom han-chilo ez-banav, es-a sh'yia lo, lo yuchal v'aker, discussed already the Ramban, ez-ben ha-uvah p'nei b'nen ha-snua ha-bechor, kias ha-bechor b'n ha-snua yakir, it's very crucial, la-seis, that's matanakari rachmana, pishnayim, b'chol ha-shayim matzelo, that's roi in muksak, ki hu reishis ono, That's, you know, libo dava. That's how we started all of this. The Gemara in Kufid Aleph and the implicit Mishnah here in Becharos. And lo mishpat habechora, which especially according to many guys. So you have five different, you know, unusual expressions, you might say, each of which really points in this direction that Yerusha's Bechar is a status and is really kind of unique. So I just want to speak a little bit more about one or two of them. Yeah,
do you think that the whole idea that you have a Havamina to think that you could give it to the Ben Hashimah, the Ben Al-Pay,
yeah,
is reflective of this idea?
Absolutely.
There is a Matana, there is a giving on the hand of the Father, it's not just happening.
Excellent, I really think so. I haven't seen it, but I think that is exactly true. One of the big problems that the Mefarshim have with these psukim is like, what's going on with the Ben Ahuva and the Ben Asnua? Why is it called that, number one? And why do we care? I mean, why should there ever be a Havamina that the Bechor, you know, is the Ben Ahuva, if the Ben Asnua is the first one? So we'll see in a minute, that's where the Gra came up with this idea, that the one that Yoni mentioned the other day, which is that maybe it depends on Zerahav or Tipa, Rishon, on the Ibor, rather than on the Leida. We'll explain that in just a minute. But if you look at the Gra's questions in Kol Eliyo, that's what bothered him. Like, what's going on? What kind of strange Havamina? Nowhere else in Kol Torah Kula do we have such a Havamina. All of a sudden, because you like this one better, so you're going to, you know, your subjective interest makes a difference here? Very strange. So the Gra came to this radical conclusion, which we'll get to back to in a minute, about Ibor versus Leida. That's what happens if you have a Bechor, you know, Le'inyan Ibor, in other words, the first Zera, but that's not the Bechor L'inyan Leida. Like, how does such a thing happen? It can happen. You have two wives, let's say. It can maybe happen with Ta'omin too. That's the Yaakov and Esav story. We'll get back to that in a second. But that we referred to last time a little bit. But let's say you have two wives, like in the Psukim, right? So the Tipa Rishona, the Ibor, is with the first wife. But the second wife gives birth earlier. Right? Can happen. We have, you know, corroboration that it can happen, right? Medical expertise. So it can definitely happen. So that's the way the Gra reads these psukim. That's a fascinating way that he reads these psukim. That we're talking about a situation, and if you read them very, very carefully, says the Gra, it actually seems to say, again, k'sien lishtena shema achat ahuva achat snua, v'yodolo banim ha'ahuva v'hasnua. So the ahuva is actually spoken of v'yodolo first, and yet we're being told v'haya ben ha'bechor la'snia, and lo yivaker al pnei ben ha'snua ha'bechor. But the leida sounds like it was first with the ahuva. So that's the Gra's pshat in these psukim, that really you see from here that the leida is not what's koveh and bechor. We'll discuss that in a second as well, but the Ibor. And that's how to read the psukim. That's very fascinating. We'll get back to that in a second. But if you don't read it that way, and you really think that, you know, in Bechor it depends on the Leida as well, so what's going on with these psukim? I mean, the questions are strong questions. Well, what's, you know, it's very interesting. Why would you think that your personal preference matters here? Oh. So I agree with Ari 100%. I thought, no, so let me just tell you another answer. So the Marit al-Ghazi also is bothered by this, here at the beginning of the parak, in Becharos. He has a different suggestion. He says, and this clues into something else that we spoke of in the first year, and that is that he says, maybe the point is to teach you that maybe we're talking about a situation where there are two Leidas here. Right? There's a Leida of Hotzi, Rosho, or Rubo, you know, and then the child goes back in, right? And then there's the actual Leidas Kol Aguf. So one might have thought, that let's say the Leidas Kol Aguf is with the Ben Ahuva. And the Ruba, the more formal, I guess, what I call the qualitative Leida of Rosho or Rubo, that's with the Ben Asnua. So you might have thought, well, you know, there are two Leidas here, and that gives me the flexibility to choose, you know, the one that I considered to be my Bechor. That works very nicely, as a Havamina at least, with, again, what Tosa said on Memvom and Beis. What Tosa said that when it came to, you know, Meuberes, Shedis Gaira, one would have thought, one might have thought, that there, Leida, and not Yitzias Rov Rosho, would be Koveh, because I really like two Leidas, and that's how I wanted to explain in general, the halach of Libo Dava, according to Rashi and Bechoros, if it is limited to Ta'omim, because at least to Omim there are two candidates. Okay. So the Marit al-Ghazi works nice, and that's his pshat in the psukim. But again, his idea is similar to what Ari is saying, which is, if there are two candidates, so then your subjective preference may win it. But I think that Ari is suggesting to go even further, right, in Havamina, and I agree with him. And that, I think, also explains, what's the ben ahuva ben asnua? So again, some of Farshim say that he already divorced the first one. That's why she's ben asnua, as opposed to ben ahuva. Okay. And even if you don't go that far, let's say, so it's Rachel and it's Leah. Okay? So the point is that he sees his, you know, for whatever reason, he married both, you know, Los and Cain and Komeno, whatever it was. So he married both of them. We're not talking about sisters in this case, obviously. He married these two women. But he really sees one as a kind of a, you know, Pilagish or a B'dieved wife, and the other one is his L'chatchila wife. So it's not true, L'halacha. Again, because it's all structural. But one would have thought, there was a Havamin in the Torah, that that the Bechor is the Ben Ahuva. Not the Havamin isn't that the Pashut is going to take precedence of the Bechor, but the Bechor will be the Ben Ahuva. So whether that's because of there already was a Gerushin, or as I say, it's simply she's the preferred wife, like, how could there be such a thing? But if Bechora is Namatana Kari Rachmana, and it's about, you know, status, and it's like, as I say, the same reason we could say Libo Dava, and we could say Yakir, and Lo Yuchal Avakir, so maybe this is a legitimate Havamina too? And it raises the question, what will be outside of a marriage, a legitimate marriage? Which is an important question. Let's say a person has a child outside of his regular marriage. Now, we have this question in Gershon is Gayer, which we're hopefully going to get to today, or if we don't have it today, we'll pick, that would be what we do to Thursday. But Gershon is Gayer. But you also have this question, let's say a person outside his marriage has a child. In terms of Bechor, does that matter at all? Both in terms of that child being a Bechor, as well as ruining it for the child from the legitimate marriage, the first child to be a Bechor. But Pashtus, that is a Bechor. But is there any room for such a discussion? So we'll discuss that. In light of this whole discussion, Ben Ahuva, Ben Asnua, the idea of Yakir being a little more about the relationship, maybe there is such an issue. Yeah.
I think that also, even forgetting Ahuva and Sinua, just the fact that there are two children and the ability to choose, right, is a sign that it's going on behind. That there is a concept that the matana is taking place in Mechai.
Yeah, for sure.
As opposed to happening to me.
Right. You couldn't even talk about it.
Even if it was good or bad son, whatever.
Right, absolutely. I will mention something else also here, just very quickly. That is, for the Gra, which again we'll speak about more in a minute, but they bring a raya for the Gra from a sugya in Yavamas. There's a Gemara in Yavamas, Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara had a Havamina that, did you see this, by the way? Oh, you didn't see it in Kol Aliyah. But he quotes it also, I checked him out also. He saw the raya that they bring a raya from the Gemara in Yavamas, Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, but I had a Havamina that Yibum will be by the Ben HaBechor. Only by the Ben HaBechor. So the question is, if that's the case, why do you need a... The Gemara there talks about a case of where the Bechor is Katan. So they say, well, how... If the Beno HaBechor is the only... According to the Havamina, the Beno HaBechor is the only person who can be Miyabim, and the halacha is that ishus lakatan, that's ishus katan, there is no yibum. So how would you ever have a situation where you would have a candidate bechor katan to be miyabim, such that you should need a gzeres lakasav to teach you that it can't be? Of course it can't be, because if the bechor was a katan, then the husband was a katan, and if the husband was a katan, there's no yibum. That's the short form of the question. Okay. So they say, because of the gra, light of the gra, they taught the following. That you can have a situation right? I mean, it'll be hard to have it, but you could have the hesitancy where the ibur is koveya the bechora, right? But the leda of the second child, not the bechor, is prior. So the brother, mina'av, is actually older than the bechor. Again, it's a good trivia question. Can you ever have a situation where, you know, where the you know, where the bechor is younger than his pashut brother? Okay. Answers according to this view of the Gra, you could. So that's the pshat of the Gemara in Yevamos, that a bechor could be a katan, right? And that's why you need to be mafkia. You have to be, you need a gzeras akasav to teach you that the yabam has to be a gadol. Because even though only the Bechor can be a Yavam, it's possible that he would be a Katan, even though the Ishus is an Ishus of a Gadol. Okay. You have like a month, or you know, month and a half window of opportunity to have this terrific Echatimsi. Okay.
Sounds like a Minchas Chinuch.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So you have to have, you know, ingenuity to come up with this kind of an example. Anyways, but what interests me is as follows. I was just looking at that. But what interests me is something else, and that is the very Havamina itself, that only a Bechor will be Miyabe. We don't pass this way, of course. Right? I mean, any brother can be Miyabe. But what kind of Havamina was it that only a Bechor, Lenachala, would be Miyabe? Why? But if the Bechor, and moreover, is that only Lachar Mises Av? Certainly not. And the Havamina of the Gemara is that the father could be alive. With the Zibum, and yet the Bechor, you know, Bechai Ha'av has special din and special status. Right? So that again, I think works, both aspects work very well. If it's just, you know, Matana Kari Rahmana, you know, so the, you know, he gets an extra present, Choshe Mishpat, from his father. Nothing more, and that's the end of the story. So, hey, why would the Gemara ever think that A, it exists Mechayim, and B, that it should have impact with regards to Yibum. But if Matanakari Rahman is about the relationship to the father and son, and the role of the son, and the heir apparent, as it were, you know, and I don't mean just in terms of the Yerusha is just the, you know, the consequence, but in terms of Chai HaMishpacha. So then we understand very well, indeed, the original Yibum of Yehuda and Tamar and all that is a father. Okay, so we don't do that. We don't allow that. But in a way, the Bechor, as the, you know, he's the father's representative on the next generation level, as the head of the family. So the Havamina that a Bechor, Dafka, would be Miyabim, makes a lot of sense. Okay, we don't pasca this way, but it's something to consider very seriously.
It's maintained in a minor key. It's a big idea.
Sorry?
We still call it whatever this means, a mitzvah. We still say
it. Well, not Bechor Davka, but...
But Begadol, right?
Yeah,
the oldest,
yeah.
So that constitutes,
right,
maintained
right
in the Muscat,
right,
Mayim.
Right. I'm just saying, had it been limited Alpidin to Bechor, it would be
right,
a statement also about what the Bechor is, as opposed to saying, yeah, of course, you know, the older... Just like we talked about, you know, Kibarav, the Acha Gadol, the idea that, you know, that age is relevant is important, that Davka is connected to Bechorah in any way, Bechai Ha'av and the status in the family, that I think is less clear, which is why I think this Havamina is important. But you're absolutely right. It is echoed, it continues to be echoed in that idea.
There is a concept of Bechor even without Yerusha, right? I mean, Bechor, like they were going to do the Avoda, they were going to...
Yeah, so what does that depend on? We still have to, is that a pigeon? That might depend on Bechor Le'im, right? That might be, that's a pigeon of the Kohen, the Pashtus. That's what we started off in the parak. I think we're in the first by saying that on the surface one wouldn't have thought that there'd be any connection at all between Bechor Lepinjan Aben and Bechor Lenachal. The one is a Choshem Mishpat Alapa, and the other is about, you know, taking the place of the Kohanim, the Avodo, Kili called Bechor, and all of that. And when the Mishnah says, you know, one depends on the father, the other depends on the mother, one depends on the Leda, the other depends on the, you know, also on the Ibor, those kind of things, you know, yeah, we're even surprised. Why do you even need to contrast them? They're so totally different. The idea that Bechor Lenachala would play that kind of a role is... but I think, if again, the Parsha of Yaakov and Esau, the Pashtus, is not about Petarechem, it's about the Bechorah of Nachala. And there the Chazal do connect it to the Avoda. Again, we spoke last time, but, you know, in Ke Lama Zeh, you know, Hinat Ochel Alech Lamus, Lama Zeh Li Bechara. So that's also an interface. Again, that's pre-Matan Torah, of course. But that's an interface between Bechara and Nachara and Avoda. But the Pashtos, that's really more the Pinyan of Ben Bechara. So these halachos, one could have said, are just Matan Akari Rachmana, Chosh Mishpat. As I said, not only Chosh Mishpat, right after Yochos Torin Benitan on the Rambam, Mishpatim, you know, that's why I think, you know, these Ha'aras are important. Okay. Having said that, I should also just add one or two other quick points. And that's, again, getting back to the same question, Bechor L'Abba, Bechor L'Ima. So it's also fascinating to note that, again, on the interface, it's interesting to know the Gemara in Kiddushin, Dav Chav Tes on the base, there the Gemara says that if a father has Bechor L'Aim, five different women, five different Bechors, he has to impone to every one of them. Now we know that's an opinion then. The Gemara says, isn't that obvious? It says Peta Rechem. This is a Gemara in Chav Tes on base in Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, Ma'u D'Seima, that just like it says Rashis Ono, you know, Huadin Linyan Pidjon, Kamashmots. I think that's just a very interesting Gemara. And again, in Yaakov and Esav, there certainly was an overlap. In the Gemara in Kiddushin is saying also, you know, even though it's Peta Rechem Li'imo, one would have thought it has to be Peta Rechem Li'imo, but also Rashis Ono. But these two dinim really overlap more than you think. By the same token, again, so the Gemara is, when the Gemara said below Mishpat al-Bechorah, and the Bechor doesn't take Bechaye b'nichsei ha'im, only b'nichsei av, so the Gemara said, well, maybe that's Bechor la'av doesn't take b'nichsei ha'im, but a Bechor la'im would take b'nichsei ha'im, right, just like Petarach. And the Gemara says no. But what's fascinating is that the Gemara still retains another Havamina. The Gemara says, I would have thought that if the child is a Bechor only la'im, then he wouldn't take b'nichsei ha'im. But if he's a Bechor La'av, then maybe he'll take a Chelek Bechora from the Nichsei Ha'im as well, if he's a Bechor also to the Aim. So once the Gemara said that Nichsei Ha'im are not affected by being a Bechor La'im, it's striking that they still think that being a Bechor La'av will help you dafka with Nichsei Ha'im. And on the contrary, a Bechor La'av will help you with Nichsei La'im more than being a Bechor La'im. In a way. But if, again, Bechor is defined by his relationship to his father, Kihu Reishis Ono, and Matanakarya Rahmana, and that role in the family, then even if it's not the relationship to the mother directly, even if it's a Petar Rechem, etc., it doesn't make a difference anymore, because it's his role in the family that the Gemara thought would still affect the way that he relates, or the portion that he gets in the estate of his mother as well. She's part of the family too. Right. But Kamash Mala, no. But it's just an interesting hab. That's the sugin on Kufir Aleph, Amad Beis. Okay. Having said that, I just want to go back to one or two other points very quickly. Yakir. Again, I think the Yakir is very key to all of this. So it's also interesting to note that Tosus asked a question here in Bechoros. Tosus in Bechoros asks the question, but the Gemara has the machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish about padachas. Right, the Gemara says yotza padachas is leida generally, but it's not considered leida. This is Reish Lakish. It's not considered leida for bechor because it's not yaki. Right, that's the Gemara here in where mem vav amid beis. Yakar amrachman klutz min anach. So Tosus here asks the question tema. The Perak Asar Yotzin, the Perak Eish Nochlin. Oh, I forgot to put on my. You put on yours? Yeah, I brought mine. Did I bring anything? Okay. The Perak Eish Nochlin, Dochik Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, Yakir Lamali, Lame the Yitzchrich and Kedoshin and Hacham, Afil Rabbi Yochan, La Paliga, the Hakamar Aflunachal, Mishum the Gesavan, the Padakas Nami Ave Akeira. So Tosfos answers it. Shomer the Hashem Kosheli Loshon Yakir. The Mashma Sheish Koach Ba'Karas Ha'av. Basically, the Tosfos here is quoting the Gemara in Kedusha Daf Ayin Ches and the Gemara in the Bava Basra Kuvkav Zayin, where the Gemara has the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Yakir establishes that a father is neman to identify his son. And the Chachamim say that if it's Keneged the Chazaka, then he doesn't have that power. Rabbi Yehuda goes further. Rabbi Yehuda says not only does he have the power to identify his son, but he also has the right to establish him as a Ben Gerusha V'Chalutza. So two things I want to say about this. Number one, I think Tosis' Ha'ara here is very interesting. Tosis says, well, why the Gemara there says, if you don't know like Rabbi Yehuda, so why do you need Yak here? Right? So the answer, the Gemara says in the end, you need it for certain cases where there's no Migu, and if there's no Migu, so you wouldn't be Naman. So even if it's not Keneged Chazaka, but there's no Migu either, it's kind of a neutral situation, Yak here will help you out. That's the Gemara's answer. But Tosa says, but you need it for this whole idea that he has to be recognizable. So Tosa says there are two dinim of Yakir. One Yakir has to do with the father, and the other Yakir has to do with the quality of what's being Nikar in the child when he is Noah. Okay. But just to point out the following. That is, maybe it's really one halacha. We could reverse the question. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you definitely need Yakir for identification purposes, and even according to the Rabbanan, maybe not Keneged Chazaka, but in a case where there's no Migo to teach you, you end up learning Yakir. So what do they do with the discussion here? So I think it's possible to suggest that the two Yakirs are really one and the same two, opposite of what Tosfos is trying to say. So it's saying there are two different Yakirs, that it should be Nikar, and that the Koach Ha'av Lahakir. But on the contrary, the idea is of Yakir, this integrated status of Bechor, of Bechai Ha'av. And this, I think, is very, very crucial to understanding that halacha, that discussion in Kedushin and Avodah Basra. Namely, the father, according to Rabbi Yehuda, can recognize the child leaning Bechora, right, even against the Chazaka. So if you say, Matana Kari Rachmana, and it's just a, you know, glorified Matana, he can give away whatever he wants anyway. No big deal. But the Gemara does say there that it impacts on other things, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and that it's Midin Nabanus, it sounds like. So how exactly does that work? So if you look at Tosas in Bava Basra, for example, and the other Rishonim as well, there seems to be a huge Machlokas on Rishonim on this point. Because on the one hand, we're saying Yakir is really a very powerful thing. Right? It defies the regular dinim of Nabanus. Normally you should require two Edim. The Rashbam and the Tosas Rin have this discussion as well about Yakir. You know, when you identify an individual, but the impact is in terms of Choshe Mishpat or Isur or Onesh, is that considered like Edecha Nemu B'Isurim? Because basically the act of identification is like an Echanan Bisurim. This is Caleb, and that's Shuman, and this is a Bechor, and that's a Pasha. Right? Or the context, since it's not automatically Caleb and Shuman, is about Macholos Asuros, by and large. You're allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to eat it. Like the Rambam says, once you establish that, it could also have impact. The famous Rambam of Sanhedrin, you know, that once you establish it, then it has impact for Onshin too. You know, as long as it doesn't come in through the context of Onshin. But it's basically Edus Hakara, it's Edus B'Isurim. So here too, this is basically Edus B'Isurim. Or since the context is already one of Dine Mominus, etc., it's not so simple. So it could be that this halacha of Yakir, that we believe the father, is really a very significant halacha. And we also believe other people, I guess I want to put it in context, like the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, so the Rambam says, you know, we believe the Oled, the midwife, you know, during this man of the Leda, right after. We believe the mother, you know, to identify the child for the first week, and after that it's the father. So as the Nosa Kalim Pardes, the Machlokas HaRishonim, Ram seems to say we always believe the father. Rashi seems to say we believe the father after the first week. After all, he has the Chiyuv Lamal as Beno, things of that sort. But the Ram says all the time. So basically, what kind of, the Namonis of the midwife, the Namonis of the mother, right? These aren't special din and bechor. They're not. They're based on other klalim. He's the only one who knows. They're the only ones who know best. They have a certain bailus in all of this. So that's the fathers as well. After the point of chiyuv milah, or it's a din of yakir, really, meaning What I'm suggesting is, if this whole din of Bechor is about the relationship between father and son, so then we understand why it doesn't follow the regular rules of Nemanus and Kol HaTorah Kula. The Bechorah is really an application. But here the question becomes, how do you explain it when the Gemara says, V'hu adin, you know, ben grusha ben chalutza? What does that mean? So here we find a machlokas arishon. So Rishonim say, it means what it says. And Yaakov is just a gili milsa that we believe a father to identify his child. And we believe him not only in Bechorah, that happens to be the Makar, but we believe him in Bechorah in the same way we believe him in Bechorah, we believe him about ben grusha ben chalutza or some other psul. You can say Bni Mamzer, you can say whatever you can say. In which case, it's just a Gzeres HaKasuv. It happens to appear in the Parsha of Nachala and Bechor, but it's really not about that at all. However, the other Rishonim to say other things. Number one, there are some who say that the only time is Nehmat to say Zebi Bni Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is in the context of saying Zebni Bechor. Now, if I point to number two son, and I say Zebni Bechor, you know, so what am I saying about who everybody thought was number one son? I'm saying he's not my child, he's a mamzer, he's a ben guru, whatever. So the only, through the medium of saying bini zeb bechor, right, I end up, even if the consequence is to say zeb bini ben grusha ben chalutza. That's how some Rishonim interpret the Gemara. The Bahag goes even further, Tosis quotes this Bahag. Bahag says, no, we paskin that he's Neman Lomar Zebni Bechor. Let me see if I can find it quickly. But we don't accept the psak when it comes to Bini Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. I don't think he's saying that in Rabbi Yehuda, but he's saying L'Halacha. Here, one second. The Posek Bahag, this is on Kuchav Zayin Odeis, the Hodet Paskinu L'Kaman Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. And this is one of the views of the Rishon. My point is, if we limit this halacha to the nemanus of Bechor, or the result of nemanus Bechor and other things, it's possible that this din of Yakir is like the real din of Yakir. Like the Ramban's Yakir. Remember the Ramban said? Yakir means, don't try to get out of, it means acknowledge him as your Bechor. Tell everybody he's your Bechor. If everybody knows, you don't have to tell them. Right? Meaning, you know, identify him, give him the recognition, recognize him, give him the recognition as the Ben HaBechor that he deserves. Remember the Ramban counted Yakir as the Mitzvah say, in addition to the Iser of Lo Yuchal Levakir. So in a way, this the nemanus, it's a special din between father and oldest son, according to this. So then you get this whole halakha, and even if you don't go as far as Rabbi Yehuda. So let's say you just say, when there's no chazaka, keneged. So what does that mean? Because it's a yachanem bisurin in that case? Or because, no, it's still a din of yakir. And the din of yakir there, the din of yakir here, are really one halakha too. Padachas isn't enough. It's not libo dava. It's not yakir. It's not ikar. It's like tumtum shenikra v'nimtza zachar. All of these halachas. And it's fascinating. If you look at the Mishnah Melech, in Hilchos Nachlos, Perek Beis Halacha Yudalad. So the Mishnah Melech says, again, this is the Ram that I mentioned. Shlosha nemanim ala bechor. Chaya v'imo v'aviv. Chaya miyad shiv amra zayatza risha nemenes. Imo kol shiva. Aviv Liola. Rashi says Aviv Lachar Shiva. Rambam says Aviv Liola. Afilo Amar Ha'ava Misha Lo Huxak Mino Klal Zeu Bni Bechori Neman Bechen Amar Val Muxak Lanushu Bechor Eno Neman Eno Bechor Neman. But if you look here at the Mishnah Melech, so the Mishnah Melech says the following: the Lo Mahani Hakera. These quotes the name of the Marimt. Lo Mahani Hakera LeBechayi HaBechor. Meaning, this halacha of Yakir, and then he quotes Marik argues, in other words, This din of Yakir is only b'chaye ha-bechor, or even, remember, the grandchildren, that's the children of the Bechor, are going to inherit a chelik Bechora. So, why shouldn't he be nemah to say that the deceased father was the Bechor, because it has impact on the children's Yerusha, the grandchildren's Yerusha of their father, the Bechor's proper Nachalah. So that's a machlokas, and Mishmela quotes a machlokas on that. And maybe the din of Yakir is only when the Bechor is alive. Now this is a takeoff that he doesn't say it in the Mishnah. And the Ramban that we saw last week, Al HaTorah, the Ramban says that Yakir, Lo Yuchal Bakir, he doesn't say it in Sefer Mitzvot, but he says it in Al HaTorah, only applies when the son is alive. If the son dies, then if you want to be, if you want to be Masna, Masha Kasav Batorah away his property, or you don't want to recognize that he was the Bechor, as long as he's not alive, even though there are Yorshim, it's fine. But he was saying in terms of another very concrete halacha, Yakir, maybe the Nemanos of the father. So if the Nemanos of the father has nothing to do with the real Yakir, it's just a Xeris HaKosov to teach you Dine, Edus and Nemanos. Of course it makes no difference whether he's alive or not alive. Unless, I shouldn't say that, there is a way of explaining that too, unless you say that when the child is alive, it's Hakara and it's Eidechan and Misur. And when he's not alive, so it's all about the Nechasim and the Yerusha, and that's always a Choshem Mishpat Eidus Halak. Could be that as well. But certainly if it's Noveya from the relationship itself, and that's the source of the Nemanus of the Yakir, then we can understand in the light of the Ramban why we dafka make this distinction. Okay. And then finally, just one other point, two other points, one other point maybe, quickly. Tosis here also, just kind of centered mostly on the ones in here at Bechoros, on Mem Zayin of the base, Tosis just points out, V'yoldu lo b'ina. Tosis, this is the context of Yotzei Dofen. So Tosis points out that when it comes to the din of Tumtum Shenikra Benitza Zachar, we're also the Mai, not only, right, Tumtum Shenikra Benitza Zachar, he had this child who was born, turned out later he was a Zachar, but we didn't know it. So as we pointed out, there are two dinim. One is that if he's a Bechor, he will not be Notel Chelek Bechora. That's one halacha. The second halacha is that if there's another child, a Pashut is born, Tumtu Benimsa Zachar, he will not be Mamait Michelek HaBechora either. Even though he'll be Yoresh as a Pashut, but he won't cut down the Michelek HaBechora. That's the din of Tumtum Shenikra Benimsa Zachar. And we have the same halacha, the same two dinim, by Ben Shenolad Laachar Misas Av. Right, that's a sugya later on as well, by the Kufnun Dalet. The other Gemara says, in Baal Basra, that if the Bechor is born after the father dies, he doesn't get a Chelek Bechora. And if a Pashut is born after the father dies, he's Yoresh, but he's not Memayit B'Chelek HaBechor. So what Tosas points out here is Tema, Kim de Darshinan, Krob Bechor, Imkein Perke, Shnochlin, Darshinan, Tumtum Shinukar, Minim Sazachar, Dene Memayit B'Chelek HaBechora, Dome Krob, Yod Lobanin, Ad She Ben Mishas Leda, Vahidin and Notel Pishnayim, Dorish Mivahaya Bechor, Ad She Ben Mishas Avaya, the Chen Perik quotes both these halachas. Ben Shino Lacha Misa Sav, Enu Mait Chelik Bechora. He says, Vahod Enu, etc. So why not? Vamai Kula Milsa Tepe Klein Mivi Yodolo, Kivin Demu Kamino Leib Bechor. Yishlomar Di Ilav Di Ksivi Trey Kroi Ava Mokmino Ledavke Bechor. Enu Noto Bishnai. Vay Mistaba Luk Mitzvei Bechor Shal Yito Chelik Bechora Milahamido Bepashit Shalai Mait Bechelik Bechor. Teda? The Yotze Dofen, the Lake of Trey Kroy, Dashinam Leinan, Dina Notel, Pishnaim, Lo Dashinan, Le, Lomar, Deinu Mabai. Tosa says, according to the Tanakhama, we pass it this way, that Yotze Dofen is not take a Chelik Bechora, why not say that every Pashut who's born, Yotze Dofen, is also not Mabai Bechelik HaBechora? Tosa says, no, for that you need a separate and a second Pasuk. But the horror that I wanted to make was that, number one, What emerges is that Yotze Dofen is a different kind of Hafkas Bechor than Tumtum Shenikra Benim Tzazachar or Leida La'achar Misa Sa'av. And I think the reason for that is that Leida La'achar Misa Sa'av and Tumtum Shenikra, as we explained, have to do with that first Zman HaLeida and the Chelek HaBechor B'chai Ha'av. It's not just a precondition for being a Bechor. It's about, again, you can't have a Safek and a Miman of Shach, you can't have a technical Ben La'achar Misa when he wasn't, when there was never any actual time together in Olam Hazeh. So basically, because of that, it affects not only, first and foremost, I think Tosfos is 100% correct. If there had only been one limud, obviously it would have only affected the Bechor. It's a much bigger chiddush to say that even a Pashut, you know, is not Mamayit B'chelek HaBechor. But at least we could say that if there is a Bechor B'chai Yav, so it's only B'shas Leida, right, that portion is cut down as we explain. But Yotze Dofen is a totally different halacha. That's simply the halacha that in addition to everything else, you need that there should be a proper Leida, right? According to Rashi's reading, or Xeris HaKasuv, connected to Makom Tumas Leida. That certainly has nothing to do with Chelek HaBechor. I think, again, this works in very nicely. Having said that, I just also wanted to make one ha'ara of the Rambam. That is that the Rambam actually, when he quotes the halacha of Misas Ha'av, Kodem Luleidus HaBen, that he quotes in Perek Beis Halacha Beis, Hilchos Nachos, Bechor Shenod Lachar Misas Aviv, Eina Notu Pishnayim, Shenemar Hoi Bama Nechilos Banav, etc. V'im Yotzas Padchasa B'chai Aviv, Av Pishnay Yotzah Kol Rosh Al Avri Olam Lachar Misa Arezu Notu Pishnayim. Then Halacha Gimli has the Halacha of Bechor Shenikra V'nim Tzazachar, Eina Notu Pishnayim. And he adds, "V'chein pashut shenikra benim tzazakar ina memayit b'chelik b'chorish nemer v'yodol abanim ad shu ben mishas leida." And then only in halacha hey, does he tell us, "Katan ben yom echad memayit b'chelik habachara v'lo ha'ubar ben shenod lachar misaviv ina memayit b'chelik habachara." In other words, when it comes to the din, this is light of Tosa. I think it's interesting. What Tosa's pointed out was that in Yotze Dofen we don't say the same thing that we say about ben lachar Misa Saviv or Tumtum Shenikra Benim Tzazachar, namely that there are two dinim, one affecting the Bechor itself and the other the Chelek HaBechor. It's just interesting to note that for the Rambam there's still a difference in the way that he presents the two dinim. When it comes to Leida B'chai Ha'av, he presents the fact that there's no Bechor and the fact that the Pashut will not be Memayit B'chelek Bechor as two different dinim. One in Halacha Beis, the other in Halacha Hay. They're even separated. In Tumtum Shenikra Benim Tzazachar, that the Ram has in one halacha, in halacha Gimel. As if to say, that's really the same halacha. Again, why that's so, I'm not sure. We can speculate. But that it is so, seems clear. Okay. One other ha'ara, just very, very quickly, and then we'll move to a different point. And that is one other din in the end of the Perek. That is, the Gemara here tells us the last halacha before the last, the nun base on the base, v'lo b'roi kibamuksak. So the Gemara says, la suye nichse da avi aba. Everybody have that? The last line before the Mishnah, nun base on the base. Right, below Baroy Kibamuksak. Bechor doesn't take Baroy Kibamuksak. La suye nichse da avi aba, including grandfather. So, what was the havamina that the grandfathers should be different than any other kind of roy? So, Rashi here explains. Imaya avi aviyam chai b'shas misavim, vayin nechosim ruyim lipo lahem kishayamos. Avagav devade asidim lipo lahem, affiliation of ben acher, yitlu elu chelik aviyam. So, kavan chamina kibamuksak dami. Kamash Malon, then it's not so. So basically, Rashi says that the Havamina was that you would not consider it Roi. So if it was Vaday Asidim Lipol, that would not be considered Roi. And Rabbi Gershom disagrees a little bit, similar, but the Aviv lo haya yodea sheyamus echav belo zera. Lo haya daito klal ayirushasa, meaning referring to other yarsha. Avav nixay the Avi Abba sheaviv haya daito aleim liyarsha. As Rashi says, that the Havamina was that it's objective. You know, eventually the grandfather's estate, whatever it is going to come through the father. If anything, it relates to the children, or it's an objective statement. It's fascinating that according to Rabbeinu Gershom, this is about the Morish and his relationship to the property. So I just want to say that I think that's l'shitaso of the Rabbeinu Gershom of the Lo Mishpat HaBechor. This is all about the father being Morish and his relationship to the Nechasim vis-a-vis his Bechor. I think that's very important. Rabbeinu Gershom l'shitaso, again, the emphasis on the Morish. But I think there's also one other possible perspective, and that is another way to explain the Havamina of the Gemara, Lisuya Nichsei de Avi Abba, might be based on the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara there says that sometimes grandchildren can claim a direct Yerusha from grandparents. Right? Lo mikoach avina kaasi, ala mikoach abba da abba kaasina. In general, that's a big question. To what extent b'nei banim are kebanim? And if b'nei banim are kebanim, are avi, aviv, ka'aba. Right? In the dynamic, the truth is, grandchildren might relate to their, it's not true in every family, obviously, but it could be that the way that grandchildren see the grandparents see their grandchildren is different than the way grandchildren see their grandparents. It's not obvious that just because you say about one, b'nei banim arei kebanim, that you say about the other, avi, whether for good or for bad, but it's just in the dynamic of the generations and the generation gap. Sometimes it's felt more in one direction than in the other direction. So, and I think this is true in general when it comes to many issues. Whether we do say b'nei banim kebanim avi aviv ka'aviv, it's not for now, but it's interesting that in Yerusha there is such a concept of the direct Yerusha from a grandparent. So I think this is a very fascinating question, where there would be, maybe the Havamina of the Gemara wasn't just about objectively it's not roy, it's muksa because it's coming, as opposed to, let's say, an uncle who maybe has other heirs or he had other heirs at the time. Or, even according to Rabbeinu Gershom, it's about the way the Morish, how proprietary does the Morish feel about this property, which itself is an important difference. But maybe it has to do with the fact that it's not considered Roy. One would have thought that it's not considered Roy because it's a direct Yerusha. But this would be an interesting wrinkle. A, would confirm that idea, which the Gemara does have. The Gemara has it, by the way, with regard to getting out of the, let's say, the father's estate has chovos attached to it. So the grandchildren want to say, well, we didn't get it from father; we got it straight from grandpa. So that's if you want to know why it makes a difference. But this idea would be very fascinating if a bechor would have that kind of claim, a bechor claim on his grandparents. He's the bechor in his family, and they're collecting not from the father but from the grandfather directly. Does bechor only affect, again, if it's about father and son? Well, the maskana, we reject this, but it could be that this is the havamina. If Bechor is a certain prominent place in the family, right, in loco parentis, whatever you want to say it, or the leader of the next generation, so will that affect the relationship between the brothers or the siblings, even vis-a-vis, not the father, but another direct Yerusha, the grandfather? Even though he's not the Bechor, the grandfather. So I think that's a very interesting question. One which needs to be looked at. Okay.
That was the Bahad. You consider that was the Bahad of driving at.
Maybe. Before. Yeah, I think that possibly is. This is even an Pashut grandfather. But one could have said that when you have a Bechor ben Bechor, then that's exactly, because everybody's mechayim, everybody's got these, you know, it's, I have this relationship with my son, you know, who has this relationship with his son, which means that I have a relationship with my grandson, you know, and nothing is roy. It's all connected mechayim. That's exactly what I meant. The chiddush here would be, but that may be true even the halacha of the Bahag. Bahag says that Tosefta is the halacha. That's true, that Bechor ben Bechor is not considered roy. And this, maybe this would be the echo. I haven't seen anybody who interprets this way. You know, that the Havamina was because it's a direct Yerusha. But I think maybe it could be. And then I think it's an interesting question about the role of Bechor vis-a-vis grandparents as well. Okay. To the family structure. Now let's get back to the... I guess we're going to have to stop in just a minute. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit behind. But that's pretty much Bechor l'Nachla. I think we hit the basic issues. The Mishnah also, there's one other thing, and now we want to start discussing Bechor generally, L'Nachla and L'Pinjan Aben. So the Mishnah has several other distinctions here. Number one, I want to speak for a few minutes next time, maybe just about, again, about Yotzer Rosho, and then the Mar Mekomis I gave you. But one of the distinctions the Mishnah has here is Giores Shenizgaira Meuberes. Right? We have the case here. Nisgaru Buberis, Nishtachra Buberis, Vialda. So the halacha is that it's a Bechor, the Mishnah, so it's a Bechor Le Peter Rechem, Le Kohen. And it's not a Bechor in that case, Le Nachal. So the Peter Rechem part and the Leda part, the role of Leda and Peter Rechem in Bechor Le Kohen, that we understand very well. What about this idea of Leda not being sufficient for Nachal? So the truth is that it could be that it's based on whether or not this person is even the father, right? Which is what Rashi and Tosas discuss, and that's why I gave you some Mar Mekomos for. Maybe I'll just augment that before we leave here today, because we're not going to get to that whole discussion today fully anyway. Is there a Mitzri? Gershon's guy, Kakotin Shanoa, Dami, etc. But in light of everything that we've said, maybe it also has to do with kihu reishis ono. The idea that zera'av, that the horaso, that the ibur, in addition to, or maybe instead in some cases, of the leida, is more prominent in Bechor l'Nachla, kihu reishis ono, than it is even in Pidyon l'Kohen. So this brings us, at least for a couple of minutes, to discuss the question that Yoni brought up the other day, namely the problem that we refer to with the gross. I just want to speak about that for a couple of minutes, and then maybe its implications a little bit. Yeah. So, the truth is, and if you just look at the... On the one hand, you have Horatius Ono, and Ono might be Zara. On the other hand, we know that Reishis Ono is not enough. And we know it from several sugyas. Number one, when Yoni first mentioned this Gronomy, I said, well, what do you do with, I think I said, right? What do you do with Yom Tadofa? And what do you do also with the cases of Tum Tum Shenikra V'Nimtza Zachar and the question of Nolad La'achar Misa Sa'av? Namely, if indeed Bechor l'Nachla depends on Zera and not on Leda, so you have a problem. Again, how Yotze Dofen doesn't affect the Ibor, it only affects the Leda. We pass on like the Tanakama that a Yotze Dofen is not a Bechor l'Nachla. So the one of you have Reishis Ono, you also have our Mishnah here. Our Mishnah seems to be a good case of that, except that it's complicated by other factors. The woman was a she was pregnant. She was a non-Jew, right? That she was the Zera, the Reishis Ono, was not subject to Bechor, right? But the Leida was after her Gerus. Harasa shelo b'kedusha leidaso b'kedusha. So the Mishnah says le'inin peter rechem le'kohen. That's fine. That's not such a double pashut either. We'll get to that. But in the Nacha, it's no good. So again, it could be because there's no father, and it's not Reishis Ono either, because you cut it off. Gershon is Garga Katan Shinolad, or Ein Zera Mitzri, Shema Zera, Ein Av LeMitzri. Those are the issues that we're going to get back to next time. But, having said that, what also could have said, yeah, because Petarachim depends on Laila, and because Bechor LeNachla depends on Zeriah and Ibur. But what do you do with Yotze Dofen? What do you do with the fact that the, you know, if the Leila is Lachar Misav, there's no Bechor? Obviously, Shas Leila plays a role. So the question is, just because Shas Leila plays a role, does that prove that the Zera Rishon of the Ibur isn't the Mechayev? It could be that you need both. Just like we said, Libo Dava, right? I mean, you know, you have to have a child which is going to be a Kayama, which is going to have a relationship with the father. For that, you need Leida. And maybe even need a proper Leida, like, you know, to be Yotze Dofen. That doesn't mean that the Mechayev and that the defining characteristic of the Bechor isn't the Zera. So the truth, there's no stira between, as I was thinking of it further, there's no stira between these two things. Anyways, this is the chiddush of the Gra, based on the psukim that we spoke of before, ben Ahuva, ben Asnua. We suggested that maybe even more radical in one way, less radical halacha way to interpret it, but this is the Gra in Kol Elio. He asks all these questions. What do you do with the psukim? What are they talking about? Mechitesi? Mitzvos. Well, why would the Torah have to be mamayit such a thing? Namely, that you have these two women, right? One of two wives, one of whom is nisaber rishon, the other, which is yoledes rishon. Ki'achre zman hirayon nazlina v'lo achar ha leidon. That's how he's medayik in the psukim. Okay, so that's the growth. So this is also quoted in the name of Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. I looked around. By Rab Shlomo Kluger in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Ayin Zayin, he quotes this in the Chachma Shlomo. Not Reish Ayin Zayin, by Reish Ayin Ches. Yeah, Reish Ayin Ches. So he says, "Im chanad b'shnayim nir ben yechta b'kama kama chidushim nishalti b'chacham echad shashama me'agon marin rab chaim v'lozner shenishal b'mitzi yesh lo beis nashim." Then he goes through the exact same thing. Rabbi Chaim Elazar was a Talmud of the Gra. He has the exact same analysis of the Psukim. And how, that's how he interprets this halacha. Okay. The problem, he says, is twofold. Number one, the whole discussion, and he asked the question of Yoledes. He thinks that, and he asked the question of Yotze Dofen. Does he see from Yotze Dofen that it isn't true? Because there's Ibor and the Zera, but there's no Leda. From my point, he could have asked the question from the other two Gemaras too, about us. But I think the answer both in all three cases is what I said before. And that is, you may need a Leda, and even a proper Leda. The answer, in truth, is easier to get rid of the Wavasra cases, because they were saying you need a Leida. You need a proper Leida, less obvious. But either way, I think that is the answer, and that would save this position. That's one answer he has. The second question he has is this interesting, in terms of Rashi and Parshas Toldos. And Rashi, based on the Medrash, says that Yaakov Avinu was struggling, you know, to get out first, because he wanted to be the Bechor, the Nachalo. So the... So those who are called against the Gra say, well, what do you have to struggle for? After all, according to Rashi himself says, you know, that he was the Zera, he was the Tipa Rishona. So the Yanacha, that's fine. Petarechem is a different story. But then Tipa Rishona, he's a Tipa Rishona. So he was the Bechor. Does everybody else thought that he was, it would justify his behavior, certainly, to the Yaakov. Although, as I explained last time, I think that there are other justifications. But, the fact that, you know, that we say that Esav was the real Bechor seems against the Gra. Moreover, this is a stronger question. They say the Mishnah here in the beginning of Bechoros is trying to list the differences between Nachala, and Bechor Pidgin Aben. So there would be a terrific Nafkamina, Ta'omin. Whenever you have twins, so the Tipa Rishona is the one that's Nolad Shnia, according to that Rashi in Toldos. So you'd have a bechor lepidgin aben, and a different bechor lenachalim. With the tohumim. You'd always have that way. So how could that be? So that's why the Rav Shlomo Kluger, the Chacham Shlomo, that's one of the reasons, both for the Rashi and Toldos, and for this problem in the Mishnah and Bechoros, that's why he says, no, the Groh has got to be wrong. Well, he doesn't say the Groh, he thought it was Reb Chaim of Elashin. And Yoni pointed out to me correctly that the Netziv also quotes this in Hamigdavar, but the Netziv says, you know, he heard this in the name of the Groh, but it's, you know, Chas V'Shalom of the Groh such.
That would only hold if the fraternal twins, but an identical twins.
So this is the interesting thing. So some of them answer this question. So that's what the Kli Chemda has a whole discussion about. So he says, no. Yaakov and Esav were mitipa achas. They weren't shtei tipos. And that's why there wasn't even an Ibur Rishon. And then he goes on to say, what about in general? You know, he has this whole fascinating discussion.
But identical twins are supposed to look identical.
So really, you could be mechalik between, but that's tibachas. Right. So is it tibachas or shtei tipos? Then you'd be mechalik between, I guess, identical twins. I don't know, we have, again, we have the medical expertise. I don't know. Anyways, but the Kli Chemda has a whole discussion about that issue. So again, but it's in the name of Rabchai, he has in the name of Rabchai Mivalajan. This is the Gra that's quoted Kol Elio. Apparently, so again, if you're Bechalik between Tipachas and Shnei Tipos, or between identical twins and non identical twins, so I don't know. According to the Gra in theory, again, you never know. It's also true. I mean, there's some who say, well, the Rashi, the Shvoferis, and all that isn't always true, or is never true, or is only true in that case. I don't know, because they have different formulations. So they'd always be misafek anyway, so you'd never know. But, although if you really never knew, I don't know, like Timtum Shinuk Nikravin in Sazakar, or you know, Mu'uravim Mitchila, right? So it's just very fascinating, this question. I don't have any much more to say about it, but it is a very interesting problem, whether the Leda is Koveya for Pidgin Aben. And again, it may not be so many nafgamina if it's tipa osa tipa, or if you just can't ever tell. Yeah, again, you could tell when not in Tohumim, you can't tell. Nafgamina would be when you have two wives. If you really know that the pregnancy of one was prior to the other, but the birth of the second was prior to the first, then you'd really have well, both would be bechor lepeta rechem in that case, because they'd both be laid on the imam. But you'd really have the Bechor Lanachla would be the that would be a big nafkamina. Yeah, there's a question?
Yeah. So just in terms of discussing the issue of Ibur and Leda as two separate requirements, both are necessary but not sufficient on their own,
right,
the model that we're constructing, I think it's important to discuss also the relationship of Leda to Ibur, in the sense of Yosei Dovin, you said that one might be more difficult. But if you understand Leda as related to Ibur in terms of Libo Dabala, that I don't know much experience in the field, but assuming that it's not just that the Koach Ibur, that was an active vice on the part of the father, but that his Leib is only Daba on something that was born Koach Ibur. In other words, that's what I was saying before.
That
would necessarily be more difficult to explain to Yotzei Dofen, because it would have to be, then Yotzei Dofen would go back to all the other cases, because Leda's only Dava in the case where it's a Leda, and it's also a proper Leda. So I don't think...
Well, I'm just saying, in the case of Yotzei Dofen, I mean, it's really a method of Leda. It's hard to understand why Libo Dava, and that's what I was saying before, is that you should need a Leda. For example, if you have, a Nefel, obviously, or let's say, more to the point, Leda Lachar Mises Ha'av, or things of that sort. So, or, you know, Me'urav, you know, mitchila, even if there's a harsha. So say in those cases, well, he never knew him as his... It's racist, oh no, once the child is a kayam, and libo dava, and so on. I think Yotzei Dofen is just more difficult, because that's more of a technicality. I mean, is it really less a libo dava?
Well, maybe that's the point, right? That saying that...
That's the most
difficult. I don't have subjective experience in the field, but that's how to the point, that, you know, when it's not birth canal labor, that somehow
uproots. It's less libo dava?
Yeah.
Well, Yoni was telling me that the Svasana says something about, you know, the difference between natural birth and you know, art of men having to intercede, you know, that makes a difference, right?
Yeah.
But I don't see why that should affect, honestly, I don't see why that should affect the you know, Libadava. It sounds like just a technical requirement of, is this considered later or not? And for Tosas, it is even less than that, because Tosas says it doesn't even have dinner later. So I don't really see that so much, but I didn't get a chance to look at that Svasana's yet, but I'll take Yoni's word for it, and maybe it has to do something like that, you know, but I don't know. It's also definitely think still is a difficult. I don't, unless you just say it's naive, yeah, there has to be a proper, proper label. But I think this is a very fascinating point. But what's particularly ironic is that Bechor L'Nachla ends up being more Reishis Ono and also more Leida, in the sense that you need, you know, it's a relationship, it's Libo Dava, it's the Vlad Kayam with a potential relationship with the father, as we've been discussing, Yakir, Lichalavakir, whereas Pidyon where Peter Rechem is on the one hand more about Leida, because Peter Rechem, right, and the act of Leida, and about the mother. But at the same time, and this I want to speak about this very, very briefly next time in terms of Yitzias Rosho or Rubo, in a way, the Vlad could already be Kadosh Mirechem. That's certainly true about Pidyon, Bechor, Behema. Right? The Bechor is Kadosh Mirechem, and that's what Yaakov's famous formulation. You know, Kadosh Mirechem, Mitzvah Lagadisha. You know, pronouncing it is an added dimension of Kiddush, but it's Kadosh Mirechem. You wouldn't say about a Bechor L'Nachla that he's a Bechor L'Nachla Mirechem. You know, that's what I'm saying. The irony is, when there's a Leida, Bechaye, Ha'av, so then that's my boy, you know, Junior, Reishis Ono, you know, and it's even Tipa Rishona, and that's my boy. But Reishis Ono, but you know, once it's laid on and Junior is beaming at me, you know, as I say it. But in Pidyon Bechor LeKohen, in a way, it's of course it's about Peter Rechem. It's about Leida. It's definitely not about Ibor. But in a way, it's already. It could be that it's already Meirechem has a status, Lifnei Leida has that status.
Isn't that the question that the Rush doesn't like with the whole Takanas HaGaonim? They say the Bracha Asher Kiddush.
He did Mibeten. Right.
That he says that there is no Kiddush, the Kiddush is only
that's
the
question.
Peter Rechem.
Right. Right. That's exactly correct. So we'll get to that a little bit also. But I'm saying in Behema you do have it.
Right, no.
And that's why I qualified it by saying exactly. Right. So you're absolutely right. That's the question, does that exist? But it's just an interesting thing that, you know, it's Leida, but it's Merachem, and yet this is Zera, and it's Badafka Beleida. Or Dafka, when they're, but tonight that so there is a Leida and a relationship. Okay, we'll stop here. What I want to do next time is, again, we'll pick up at this point about Rashi and but Rashi tells us about Gershon is Geyer, and so there are really several things to look at. One is the question of Zera Ha'av Begiyuso. Zerah, whether Bias Mitzri, Shema Bia, etc. I gave some articles there. Just look again at the sugya in Yavamos, the parallel Gemara to here. First, the Rashi Tosas here on the Mishnah, just make it clear. The Gemara in Mem Zayin Rabban Aleph, the Rashi Tosas, and Rabbeinu Gershom. Also, the Rashi Tosas, the sugya, the parallel sugya in Yavamos, which is what Samach Beis Rabban Aleph. Also look at the sugin, two other sugins in Yavamos very quickly. One is the sugin, Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph. There too, the Gemara discusses whether Zera Av Mitzri applies or not. And look at the Ramban there if you get a chance. But definitely, you know, Rashi and the Shakam Tarya. And also Ayin Ches is very, very important. Ayin Ches Amud Beis in Yavamos. There's the famous Rava. It also has to be integrated here. If you have harasa shelo b'kedusha v'leidasa b'kedusha, is that midin? Is that considered geirus? You don't need a separate tevila, for sure. But is that because the child is nolad me'ein Yisrael, so it's a Jew completely, or is it's misgayer agavimo, which is what the Gemara sounds like there. It doesn't sound like that here. How does that fit in with our Mishnah here? Our Mishnah hears him say this pidgin, you know, bechor. Child doesn't begir. And as harasa shelo b'kedusha v'leidasa b'kedusha, we're interested in that from several points of view. Was there a father begiyuso? Now that there's a gerus, was there a father? What about gershon is gayer? Does that apply? And is it a ger at all? These are things to look at. So that's the Gemara Ein Ches. Also look very, very quickly at the Gemara Nazir, Daf Samech Aleph. Also a question whether the Mitzri. I told you to look at the Gemara in Kedushin Yud Zayin. These are the main Gemaras about these issues. And I told you to look already at the Rebbeinu Tam and in Ksuvos Daf Gimel. I just want to make a point about that. I think pretty much, and then the Levia issues, the other issues on Mem Zayin and Aleph, though you want to get through Mishpacha Sa'im, and the question of Levia. So we'll leave it with this for next time, and then maybe we'll give you more Marmakalos. After that, we're going to move to start moving to the Pigeon of Ben questions for the last 2 weeks. So we'll split it up that way. Okay, so I'll be a little later again on Thursday because I have my morning share in the city that was pushed off for today. So let's assume that it'll be 10 around 10:45.